Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Micah, chapter 7. Micah, chapter 7, verses 7 through 10. The book of Micah. If you'll go to the book of Matthew and turn back about 25 pages, you should find it. Micah, chapter 7, verses 7 through 10. Micah chapter 7, verses 7 through 10, and we'll read this passage responsively. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, said, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being in this place. Thank you for your presence. And Father, we're a needy people. And Lord, really, we're a weak people. We're so full of pride, we're unwilling sometimes to see how weak we are from sin. Father, please fill our preach with your power. May we listen carefully. Change our lives today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, the sermon that I preach, though I had already prepared the sermon, and as I so often do, I have about six sermons that are complete that I'm always ready to preach. It's a matter of choosing which truth our church needs at the time. I came to the conclusion that this was that sermon after having an appointment with Mrs. Jean Linton. Mrs. Linton came to see me this week, and we talked for a little while. She had no idea the influence that she had on me, been a member of this church for many years. Wasn't long after I became pastor here, Mrs. Linton had really, I think, it started out as pneumonia. And she got very sick. They ended up taking her to the hospital. It got worse and worse and worse to the point that she was in a coma. She was in intensive care for a long time. And I would go up to the hospital, the city hospital, and pray for her and talk to her, though she could not hear a word I would say. At least that's what they would think. And I would tell people, people came and said, they said, you know, Mrs. Linton's not going to make it. Mrs. Linton's going to pass away. And anybody that will remember it will say, no, I told them, I said, no, she's not. I think she's going to make it. You don't know how tough that woman is. And if you know Jean Linton, you know how tough she is. And I mean, Mrs. Linton, that's probably been, a year and a half ago, 4 years ago now. Wow. She was in my office this week. We had an appointment, and boy, after her illness, she had to make a comeback. I mean, it was serious. The doctors were predicting her death, but she made it. And then 4 years later, she was in my office this week, and this is what she said. She said, "Preacher, I'm back. I'm back." And she's back. Indeed, she is. The sermon that I'll preach this morning, it's a sermon about the resurrection. But I'm not going to talk about Jesus Christ. I will not talk about his crucifixion. I will not talk about his 3 days in the grave at all, but it is about his resurrection. I'm going to read one little scripture to you, if I could. It's not one that we read earlier. You listen as I read. The Bible says this. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, that I may know him, and that's speaking of Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here the Bible says that there is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, it won't be long, we'll be celebrating Easter, or better called Resurrection Sunday. But that resurrection, that's not just to be celebrated one time a year. We serve a risen Savior. We serve Him 365 days a year. And let me tell you all something. When Jesus Christ resurrected Himself from the grave, He was trying to say to you, you can get up. You can make it. You can keep on going. Even when they've counted you out and said, might as well forget it. That one's gone. That one right there is gone. Well, that's not necessarily true. A pastor called here in the last month or so. I try to be as much of a friend as I can to pastors. A pastor called here and said to one of my secretaries, said, have Brother Owens call, please. It's urgent. It's an emergency. I got the call slip, and I found a spot in my schedule, and I gave him a call, and he began to pour his heart out to me about the tragedies and the heartaches that the devil had inflicted upon him. And then he said this to me. He said, Brother Owens, I feel dead. He said, I just feel emotionally dead. He said, I don't know what somebody feels like when they're physically dead, but he said, my energy's gone. And he said, at this moment, he said, I feel dead. I talked to him for a few minutes, and then I called his name. I said, Brother, let me tell you something. Don't you forget this. If you don't get anything else that I've told you today, don't you forget this. You just told me you felt dead. I said, well, nothing has ever been resurrected that did not first die. So you have a chance to resurrect if you feel dead. May I say to everybody under the sound of my voice this morning, there's nothing that's ever been resurrected that did not first go through a death. In the passage of Scripture that we read together with Brother Bush a few minutes ago, Micah, a Old Testament man of God, found himself down. He had fallen, if you will. As you are reading through the Scripture, Micah tells us about the fall, and he talks a little bit about his feeling when things got down for him. Micah says this. He said, I'm looking toward the Lord right now. I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. Micah says, I have fallen. Actually, he says, I'll fall. Then he says, but I will rise again. He actually uses those terms. He says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. We go down a bit, and he says, and I shall behold his righteousness. So here you have this man, and he says, I know a fall is going to come in my life. He said, I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And I'll fall just like everybody else has fallen. He said, but I will rise again. He said, I will bear the indignation. And what he's saying there, he said, if I cause the fall, I'll have to put up with, I'll reap what I have sown. He said, but I will behold victory in my life. What I want to say to you this morning, I say it to everybody. Oh, indeed, there's someone this week that if you've tripped, you've fallen for some reason or another, and you might feel a bunch of people know that. I hope not. And those of us that know that others fall, it's not our job to publicize it. It's our job to pray for them and love them. But I say it to everyone. Not just that one you say, Brother Owens, I've humiliated myself this week, and somebody's seen me, and I misbehaved. I'm not preaching to you as an individual. I'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that for us. But I speak to all of us this morning. Here, Micah told us he had fallen. Now, what does that mean? It means, I'm down. I'm down. It's not just talking about someone that had fallen into sin, and we use the term, you know, deep sin. Well, truth is, all sin's deep sin. But we're not just talking about sin, though we'll include that here, because it is a part of this. This man of God said, when I'm down, but notice in the scripture he said, I will rise again. When I'm down, I'll rise again. To define the word fall, it means if I've fallen into sin, I'll rise again. When I'm down, I'll rise again. Hey, maybe I have fallen by making a mistake. I've fallen from what I should have done to something lesser, and I'm not talking about sin now. I mean, there are certain things that we could have done better. We didn't do as good as what we could have. It wasn't sinful that what we did. We just didn't live up to our own expectation of ourselves. But he said, look, if I've fallen and I've made a mistake, I'll rise again. Hey, maybe you're down due to a heartache, but you can rise again. Maybe you're down because of a heartbreak, but you can rise again. Maybe you say, Brother Owens, as a parent, I feel like a failure. But whatever it is, whatever went on with this man of God, he said, but I will rise again. Maybe it's a business failure. And you know something? Man could have a day of business failure that could be very hard on him. It doesn't have to be the complete collapse of the business. Maybe there's a businessman in here. You say, Brother Owens, I failed this week. But look what Micah said. Micah said, I failed. But we'll rise again. I'll rise again. Maybe you quit. Maybe inside you. And we all have a little bit of that quit in us where we just say, phooey with the whole thing. But Micah said, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again. Hey, maybe there's somebody here. You've lost a loved one. And you've been down about that. And you've not reclimbed the mountain of victory after your loss. And it's gotten you down a bit too much. And hey, we can grieve the loss of a loved one to the point that it becomes sinful because we cease to be what we ought to be for God while we're missing someone that's with God in heaven, and we have to be careful that we do not let our grief overwhelm us to the point that our missing the dead cause us not to live right and to help the living. And maybe you say, it's gotten to me a bit. Well, hey, why don't you be like Micah and say, but I will rise again. Maybe you've been knocked down. You know, sometimes we get down in life because somebody knocked us down. Maybe you feel like somebody just knocked your feet out from underneath you. Maybe it was an attack that's come upon you. But I like what Micah said. He said, I will rise again. I will rise again. Maybe you're discouraged. And again, if you're a human being, there are moments that come in our lives, moments of discouragement. Now, I really don't think that Christians are supposed to be discouraged 7 days a week. I don't think that's supposed to be the case. It ought to be a rare occasion that you're discouraged. But discouragement does come. So here you have this man of God. He says this. He said, I'm down. Now, I don't know all the reasons why he was down. He said, but when I'm down, I will rise again. If I've fallen into sin, down, I will rise again. If I've made a mistake, I will rise again. If I'm down due to a heartache, I will rise again. If I'm down to a heartbreak, I will rise again. If I feel like I've failed as a parent, I will rise again. If I feel like I've created a business failure, I will rise again. I had this tendency to quit, but I will rise again. I'm missing someone that has passed away, and it's kind of overwhelmed my life a bit too much, but I will rise again. I got knocked down by somebody else. I will rise again. I've been attacked by someone, but I will rise again. I'm a bit discouraged, but I will rise again. Like I said, when I sin, I'm going to rise again. When I fall, I'm going to rise again. When I make a mistake, I'm going to rise again. If I quit, don't count me out. I will rise again. When I'm down due to a heartbreak, I will rise again. When I fail as a parent, I'm going to rise again. When I experience a failure in my business, I'm getting up. When I feel like quitting, I'm going to rise again. Hey, when I've lost a loved one, I'm going to rise again. When I get knocked down by somebody else, I will get up. When I'm discouraged, I will get up. Every great man in the Bible had a time when he got down. He got down. Remember, down, we're not talking about just sin. Life has its ups and its downs. That's just all there is to it. What your down is today is not what mine could be. What would get Brother Bush down is not necessarily what gets you down. What would get Brother Young down is not necessarily what would get you down. What would get Mrs. Nash down is not necessarily what would get you down. And I said Mrs. Nash because I know what gets her down. It's Mr. Nash. And I don't know what your down is today. I don't. Those of you in the balcony, look right at me. I don't know what is getting you down today. But what's getting you down is not what is getting the person beside you down. But I promise you this, there is a devil. And he would like to get you down. He just wants to get you down. I spend my life getting people up.
Amen.
I love it. I love spending my life getting people up. You may be knocked down, but you don't have to be knocked out. Not at all. Not at all. Every great man in the Bible, he got down. He faced the down times. Noah sinned. But you know what? He rose again. Paul made a mistake and took the Jewish vow that he should not have taken. But Paul rose again. David had a heartache with his son Absalom. But he rose again. Jeremiah, he quit. But he rose again. Joseph was attacked by his own family, his own brothers. But he rose again. Elijah got discouraged. He quit and he hid under a juniper tree and whined and cried and bawled around like a lost person would. But Elijah, he rose again. Hosea's relationship with his wife. Oh, what a terrible heartache. His wife took off and left him and began to act like a whore. But if you read the rest of the story, you'll find out Hosea, he rose again. Job suffered loss of money and business, but he rose again. Ezekiel, he lost his wife to death, but he rose again. And Micah said this, the Old Testament prophet said, I'll fall. Hey, let me tell you something. So will you. Down is coming your way. That's all there is to it. Young people, look up here at me. Teenagers. Let me tell you something, teenagers. Right now, mom and dad help to carry a lot of your down. But there are teenagers in here. You say, Brother Owens, in my heart right now, I feel down. And you need to do what Micah did. Micah said, I'm down, but I'll get up. And the older you get, young people, the more you're going to find out life has downs and you're going to face them. There's no way out of it. That's all there is to it. You're going to face your downs. Micah said, I'm down. Hey, and you're going to go down. And I'm not talking about you're going to go out and tie one on and get so drunk out of your mind that you ruin your entire life. No, somebody here, the devil's going to trick you into doing that. I hope not. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about you will face attitude downs. And you will face spirit downs. You are going to face the downs of life. That's all there is to it. You say, and Brother Owens, how does it come? You know, I'll tell you what's really hard. It's when the devil sucker punches you.
Yeah.
You know what a sucker punch is? I remember I was listening. I was in high school. And I was listening to two brothers. And this one brother was saying to his other brother, here's what had happened. There was a bully in my high school. And I'm always glad when the bullies get theirs. I really am. I'm glad when the bullies get theirs. For instance, Jesus is going to knock the snot out of the devil someday. And he won't be bullying us around anymore. But I remember this day there was this bully. He'd been bullying this boy and bullying this boy and bullying this boy. Well, finally, this kid that was smaller than him decided that he was going to fight this bully. Right at the last minute, before this little kid that had been being picked on was going to fight the bully, this little kid's brother showed up. And I was standing there, and he pulled his little brother aside, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. When the big bully goes to pull his jacket off, that's when you punch him right in the mouth. That little kid went over and said, all right, let's get it on here. Gee, this little kid's going to fight this great big bully. And so when the bully began to take his jacket off and had both of his hands pinned behind his back, that little kid punched him right in the mouth. Pretty hard to retaliate. Now, at that moment, I thought it was a good thing. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That's how the devil does us.
Right.
He sucker punches you. And you know, you're not expecting it. He comes around and he slaps you once. For instance, hey, folks, I'll tell you something. The devil's got this uncanny way of interrupting your life. He interrupts your life and you're not expecting it. He gives you that sucker punch. Your marriage, it seemed to be going fine, and suddenly your marriage took the sucker punch from the devil. It seemed like the finances were well, and all of a sudden the devil sucker punches you. And you're thinking, whoa, where did that come from? You had good health, and all of a sudden you get the sucker punch from the devil. You didn't expect the hit. I mean, you couldn't brace yourself for it. And I'm going to tell you, that's how he works. He hits you when you're expecting it the least. When our boys were growing up, we would I'd wrestle with them, and I can remember time and time again, I would tighten up all my stomach muscles real good and tight, and I'd say, boy, hit me as hard as you can right there. Come on, hit me as hard as you can. And boy, they'd bang, bang, bang. And you know, I was ready for it. I had the muscles tightened up. Well, I can remember one day, I didn't have the muscles tightened up. I had not invited the punch. I didn't know it was coming. And so, I see one of the boys had coming, and I'm just minding my own business, and all of a sudden, wham, and I went, okay, it's fine. I didn't have a chance to brace myself. I didn't have a chance to prepare. And isn't the devil just like that? Is he not just like that? You didn't have a chance to get ready for the punch. And sometimes in life we do. But so many times, hey, what it is, what happens to us is we didn't have a chance, and suddenly the heartache hits you. It catches you off guard. You're emotionally, you're not toughened up and tightened up and ready to take the punch, and you're sucker punched by the devil. Suddenly, the car accident. Suddenly, an attack on your character. Suddenly, your child breaks your heart. Suddenly, you get the doctor's report. Suddenly, you take the punch and it dazes you. And you say, oh, I can't believe I got hit like that. Suddenly, the death of a loved one. But it happens. It happens. You're going to take some punches. The devil is not going to advertise to you every time when he's climbing in the ring. He's not going to advertise you that we're putting the gloves on and let's go. But I'm advertising to you today, it's a coming.
Right.
And he'll hit you when you least most expect it. And he doesn't care if he hurts you. He doesn't care how it affects you. Everybody look right at me here. He doesn't care. His goal is to catch you off guard. His goal, look right at me. People on the platform, it doesn't help me if I say look right at me and then you look back there and watch people leaving the service. His goal is to catch you off guard. His goal is to sucker punch you and to daze you. And if he can do that, he'll trump you while you're down. He'll trump you while you're a bit dizzy. He'll trump you while you can't get yourself adjusted. But let me tell you something. You can take even a sucker punch of the devil. You can take it. And you can make it. Now I want you to listen to me for a few minutes as I talk to you about the fact that you get down, you can rise again. You can get dazed and knocked down and be dizzy out of your spiritual mind and get back up. You can rise again. See, all will fall, but all could rise again. All could fall. Hey, let's get ready for it when the downtime comes. I try so desperately to warn you. See, I don't want all of the devil's devices to trick you. Now, I've got a sermon in my Bible right now. It's called Tricky, Tricky, Tricky. The devil's tricky. He's tricky. But I'd like for you to learn some of the devil's devices. I've told you one this morning. It's the sucker punch. He hits you when you don't expect it. But let me tell you something. Hey, look, he may still hit you when you don't expect it, but the minute that happens, I wish something would click in your brain and say, that's what the preacher said would happen. That's what the preacher said would happen. The preacher warned me. He told me when I least most expected it, I was going to get hit. And I didn't expect it. And now I'm hit it. But it ought to give you hope to know when you reach out and feel that blood running down your spiritual face, you ought to be able to say, you know what? I've been prepared for such a time as this. I didn't see him coming. I didn't see him take the swing. All I did was feel the blow of the attack of the devil. But I shake myself and I realize, hey, I've been hit
but I knew it would come. I didn't know when it would come, but I knew it would come. And now I need to do what I was taught to do when I was told the devil would sucker punch me. I'm not saying everybody will fall into sin. I'm just saying everybody's going to get down. You will experience a fall of some sort. Some of you that are excellent of attitude and excellent in spirit, the day will come when you lose your attitude a bit, you lose your spirit a bit, something hits you and you find yourself behaving attitude-wise in such a way that you should not. Hey, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Is it going to be a fall from your walk with God? Is it going to be a sin that causes you to fall? Will it be self-inflicted or inflicted by another? But let me tell you something. When you do take the punch, when you do get knocked silly, when you do get knocked down and your head spinning, we're about to find out what you're made of. Look, when my boy would walk up to me and slap me in the belly and I was ready for it and all tightened up, that was easy to take. It's when he hit me and I wasn't watching, and we're going to figure out how tough that really is. We're going to find out what you're made of. Look, anybody can keep on going when it's sunshiny and positive. Who can't do that? That doesn't. Hey, you are not involved in the fellowship of His suffering when you're not suffering. Everybody says, "I love the risen Savior." Well, the risen Savior would like to see what you're made of. Well, we like the association with the suffering. Hey, we like the association with the cross. Woo! We like the association with the resurrection. We like the association, but God said you're not just going to associate, you're going to participate. You're going to participate in that suffering. It's going to happen. Anybody can keep on going when it's sunny. Anybody can keep on going when it's bright. Hey, falls don't make us. When you take a punch, the punch does not make you. It merely reveals to you what you are. Shows how tough you really are. And when you take a punch, when you take the sucker punch from the devil, we're about to find out what you're really made of. What are you going to do now? Now I realize, if you've seen the punch coming, you could prepare for it. I'll prepare you all I can. But when the down hits, the down is going to show us what are you really made of? How tough are you really? I was yesterday in the wedding ceremony of my son Jeff and Savannah. I told them very, very strongly, we stood here. And I said, young people, I want you to understand something. You take vows. Those vows are not decorative words for a decorative ceremony. They're real. I said, you're about to promise each other for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health. And I told him, I said, we would rather that it be that it's better. We'd rather that it be richer. We'd rather that it be in health. But I'm telling you, you're going to face the worst. You're going to face the poor. You're going to face the sickness. And I say to every one of you, those of you that are married, it's for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. You knew the worst could come. You knew the sucker punch of poor could come. You knew that sickness could come. You knew that. Now we're about to find out what are you made of. But you're going to face it. You're going to face the down. It comes for everybody. And that's exactly what the Old Testament prophet said. He said, I'll fall. Everybody's going to face it. Everybody's going to face it. Then he said this. He said, I'll look to the Lord. I get dazed. I get hit. I don't even know where the punch came from. Wasn't expecting it. He said, naturally, I'm going to say, look to God. I'm going to look to God. Hey, others may not understand when you take your punch. God understands. Hey, there will come a day when you're going to need a very big God. And guess what? You've got one. There's going to come a day when no other human being alive is going to understand the pressure that you're under. No other human being alive is going to understand the pain that you feel. No other human being alive is going to really be able to give you the compassion and the tenderness and the kindness and the patience that you need. But let me tell you something. My God is all of those things. And so when you get sucker punched by the devil and you go bang and you say, whoa, what happened to me? But wait, the preacher told me I'd get sucker punched. He told me the devil would nail me when I don't expect it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm looking up. When you look up, let me guarantee you, my friend, He's looking down. He's looking down. He's not forgotten about you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you got to climb in the ring with the devil, I've got news for you. God's the man that's got the hammer that will ring the bell to open and close the fight. And you're on the winning side. You're going to win. You'll make it through it. You may feel all alone, but God is always there. Look, I can't go everywhere with you. My son Joshua, many years ago, he came into our family. First, we carried him everywhere he went. As he grew up, he slowly but surely went off on his own here and there. He went off and went to Bible college all by himself and then got married. Now lives on his own and pays his own bills. And he's separated from me. But Mom and Dad, we're still around. We help what we can. But let me tell you something, son. When the day comes that Dad is dead and in a grave and he's gone forever, hey, I may not be here to help anymore, but your God will always be with you. Your God, you can't be separated from your God. Oh, not at all. And that's why when the devil sucker punches in you, you kind of don't know where to look for help. Let me tell you, you say, I can't tell. Where are my friends? Where's the preacher? Oh my, where's my husband? Where's my wife? Where's my mom? Where's my dad? I'm kind of dazed. Look up! You don't have to wonder. Look up. God won't forsake you. Look to the Lord. Why? He'll help you rise again. He'll help you rise again. Then I see what this man said. He said, I will wait. What happened? He said, I know I'm going to get hit. I know it. I know I'm going to face it. And then because I know I'm going to face it, he said, I'll look to the Lord. Then he said something very wise. He said, I may have to wait before I make any decisions. There's going to be a moment when I'm going to have to look at this thing and examine it and show some patience in my Christian life. I don't want to fly off the handle and do something stupid. My husband said, well, he's going to leave me, so I'll just leave him. That's the stupid things that I'm talking about. That quick reaction of your pride and your anger, that reaction that says, well, I'll just do what I want. Oh, no. You don't just do what you want. You say, I got hit. I'm dazed. I've got to look to the Lord. Now I'm going to have to wait a minute and make sure what's happening here. I got to get a hold of myself. I got to wait a minute. And folks, are you listening to me this morning? I am showing you how to make it through the catastrophes of life. Now I know something about that. This is what I do all day long, every day. People meet with me and we sit in my office and I say, you're facing a catastrophe. Now let me help you through this. Let me help you through this. He said, I'll wait. Let me tell you something. Make you a promise. If you'll do what I'm teaching you, the sun will rise again. The sun will rise again. The load will lift. Anybody here that's ever been through a tragedy? I mean, when you're in the middle of it, you're dazed. I mean, you're wondering what's going on. But if you hang tight, hang in there. A few days later, a week later, you said, maybe I'll make it. But at the moment of the punch, you're thinking, I'm going to die. I can't make it. I can't take it. It's all over. You remember the time when you thought, it's all over. It's it. It's the last punch that I can take. No, it's not. Now, right now you feel like that. But the sun will rise again. You got to keep on going. You wait. You don't make any harsh decisions. You just wait. You say, I think the sun will rise again. I'll make it through this. Some of you that are veterans in the human run and the human race, won't you stop and realize something? Think of all the times that you've been through it and you got sucker punched. You got the wind knocked out of you. And you were spiritually dazed. Has He not come through for you every single time? You seasoned veterans in the Christian life, you ought to be saying to these young couples and these young people, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We can take it. But he said, I'll wait. You know what that means? Keep teaching your Sunday school class. Keep teaching it. Keep teaching your class. Don't give up. I'll wait. Keep your bus route. Keep working on your bus route. Go to work. Say, I got 10. Oh, get up tomorrow morning and go to work. Go to work. keep going for God. He said, now, you got hit. I know you got hit. And I told you you were going to get hit. And your days, I'll look to the Lord and I'll realize, my God's going to see me through this. God, what do you want me to do? Keep on going. You just don't make any weird and harsh decisions. Keep on going. Well, what do you want me to do? Get up tomorrow morning and go to work. Go to church. Work on your bus route. Teach your Sunday school class. Mow the grass out there at the church. You just keep on going for God. That's what He wants you to do. Because I had heard a pastor give a certain type of advice once before. It was great advice. I gave it. A man that I was working with, and again, another pastor. Pastor came to me, and he said to me, he said, Brother Owens, he said, I'm devastated. I am devastated. I was preaching down south. He came to me, he said, Brother Owens, I am devastated. My son has gotten so far out of the will of God. He's embarrassed me. He's hurt me. He's virtually become my enemy. And you talk about something hard to bear. Your own son becomes your enemy. He said, Brother Owens, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I borrowed some advice that I'd heard. I said, Doc, I'm going to tell you what you do. I said, tomorrow morning, you wake up. You put on your socks. You put on your pants. You put on your shirt. You eat your breakfast. You go to your office and you do what you always do. He said, Brother Owens, are you sure? I said, tomorrow morning you wake up. Put on your socks. Put on your pants. Put on your shirt. Eat your breakfast. Go to work. He said, all right, that's what I'll do. So he made it. He made it. Why? Because he knew he just had to wait and keep on going. He had to wait on the Lord to do something. And until the Lord did something, he had to keep doing what he was supposed to do. It was about a year and a half later. This very same man, I was down south again preaching. He came to one of my meetings. He came over to me. And he said this. He said, Brother Owens, pray for me. I'm going through a tough time. He said, a deacon in my church just turned on me. He's become vicious. He split my church. He said, I won this man to Christ. He said, I won him to Christ and I helped salvage his family. And he got with the wrong kind of people and they're gossiping and being negative. And the next thing I know, he led some people astray. He just split my church down the middle. And I thought back, his boy just broke his heart 18 months ago. And I did. I said to the man, I said, goodness, what are you going to do? He said, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and put my socks on, Brother Owens. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to get hit. I wish I could tell you when. Now, there's some of you, if you'd listen to me, I try to tell you when. There's some of you, I've looked at you, and you sat across from me in my office, and I said, you're about to take a punch, and it's going to be self-inflicted. Some of you, if you didn't think the preaching was all for somebody else, and you stop and wake up and realize, I'm trying to warn you up here, you could know when the punch is coming. Some of you are blindsided because of your own stupidity, because you sat in church and think of everybody else's sins instead of your own. I'm trying to say, you're about to get hit in the mouth. And you don't listen. But most of the time, you're going to get hit and you're not going to know it. It's going to daze you. What do? Look up. And then you say, I've got to keep going. Until God comes, I'll keep my eyes on Him and I'll keep doing what I'm to do. I'll wait for Him to deliver me. I'll wait for God's timing on this thing. You may set in the valley for a little while, but hey, trust me, in due time, you will start up the mountain of victory. And anybody here who's ever been through a heartbreak, you say, that's it. There will come light at the end of the tunnel. You will rise again. You say, Brother Owens, it's dark right now. Then work on in the dark. Work on. I mean, if you have to, you say, Brother Owens, I got hit. I can't see. What am I supposed to do? You just work on in the dark. You may have to go slow, but you work on in the dark. You say, pardon me, I've lost hope. Go to work tomorrow. Go to work. You trust this preacher. You trust what the Bible teaches. When you get hit, you say, I can't hardly see at all. Go to work blind then. Go to work. You say, I don't know if it's going to work out. And you just go to work. You just come to church. You don't quit. You say, I'm going to feel my way through this thing. That's fine. But you just keep going forward. You keep going forward. I can't see right now, Brother Owens. I mean, I've got a mixture of blood and tears in my eyes. I can't see. I've been sucker punched. Hey, can I tell y'all something? You don't always have to see. If you can see the one who sees, he can take care of it. You say, well, I don't understand. You don't always have to understand. Sometimes you just have to understand the one who understands. That's all you have to do. Micah said, I'm down. I'm down. And all of us will get down someday. He said, well, I'll look to the Lord. I'll look up because He can see everything. I'll learn to wait. I'll not run off wild and do my own thing. I'll just keep doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'll wait for God to salvage me. Then he said this. He said, I will bear... Let's see exactly how I said it. He said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord. So what does that mean? He said, if I have sinned, if I have done wrong, I'll bear my punishment. I'll take it. If I did wrong, and if I brought this on myself, I'll take my punishment like a big boy. I got myself expelled from the Christian school, which we've not had that, but which is a perfect time for me to use an illustration like this. I got myself expelled from the Christian school. It's my fault. I'll lay out the semester that I have to lay out. I won't get bitter at the principal. I won't get bitter of every single person that ever gave me a demerit. I'm going to get mad at the church and mad at the preacher and mad at the handbook. I'll take it. I broke the rules. I brought it on. I'll take it. And it's time for America, and especially Christians, to suck it up and face the fact a lot of your problems are your fault. You blame God. Mr. Pastor, some of you that your marriages are totally blown away, you've heard this pastor, at least me, for 5 years, and Don Smith before say, you get into church and you be faithful. And you didn't.
Right.
What would help some of you is you quit feeling sorry for yourself and you do this, like a big boy. Lord, I got a mess on my hands. I created most of it. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at the preacher for telling the truth. Go ahead. Give me what I got coming. Give me what I got coming. That's what he said. He said, I will bear whatever I have coming. I'm not going to go out and become a drug addict. Cover up all my pain. I'm going to drink myself senseless. I'm going to go waste what little bit of money I have left to drown my sorrows. He said, I'll bear it. I brought on a headache. I'll take it. You can make it, folks, if you'll take it. You'll make it if you can take it. I will endure it. I'm going to hang in there. I'll outlast this thing. Okay, I did wrong. I did something stupid. I'm going to have to reap what I have sown. But you know something? We'll get past this harvest. I'll get past it. I can take what... Hey, it's almost like this. God, whatever you got, dish it out. Let's get it over with because I know something about you. You're going to give me another chance and you may spank me and you may ground me and you may send me to my room, but I'm going to rise again. You already told me that I have the same resurrecting power that you had and I can spiritually get up and do it again. Spank me, let's get it over with and go on. That's what God said. That's exactly what He was teaching. Toughen up, Christian. Toughen up. If you're a visitor here today, just so you know, around here, we're not playing religion. This is an army. It's a mighty army, and we're out to serve God. We're out to salvage families and boys and girls. We're out to make a difference. Hey, listen. Say to your burden. All right, you hit me. You hit me. I'm down. I'm getting up. Hit me again. It's all right. My dad used to tell me, he said, son, the ones you don't want to fight are the nuts, the crazy guys. Every time you hit them, they get back up. It's like it doesn't faze them. The devil sucker punches you enough and you claim the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you keep getting back up, his arm's going to get tired. His arms will get tired. You may knock me down, but you can't keep me down. I'll not get bitter with God because I have now had to reap what I have sown. Hey, if God has to subtract His blessing due to my disobedience, I'm not going to get mad at God. I brought that on. If God has to punish me because I've been bad, I won't go to my room, slam my door, turn my face to the wall and say, God is not good. I hate all authority. Well, I'll take it. I'll take it. I will rise again. Hey, think you got it tough? This is a true story. A man was working on his motorcycle on the patio, and his wife was nearby in the kitchen. While racing the engine of his motorcycle, he accidentally kicked it into gear. The man, still holding onto the handlebars, was dragged along, and he burst through the glass patio doors. His wife, hearing the crash, ran into the room to find her husband cut and bleeding. So she called for an ambulance. Because the house sat on a fairly large hill, they went down several flights to the stairs and met the paramedics, and they escorted them right to where the husband was. While the attendees were looking at her husband, the wife managed to kind of half ride and half push the motorcycle out where it belonged. Then, she thought, it's best to blot up all the spilled gasoline here with some paper towels. She tossed them into the toilet. After being treated and released from the hospital for all of his cuts, the man returned home. He looked at his busted up bike. He looked at his patio door. He looked at all the damage. He went into the bathroom to console himself with a cigarette while doing his business. About to stand, he flipped a cigarette butt in between his legs. The wife, who was in the kitchen, heard a loud explosion and her husband screaming. Finding him lying on the bathroom floor with his trousers burned away, burns on his legs and rump, she again phoned for the ambulance. The very same paramedics came again. As the paramedics were carrying the man down the stairs to the ambulance to fix him up again, they asked his wife how he had burnt himself. She told them, they began laughing so hilariously, one slipped and fell, dumping him. He rolled down the hill onto the stairs, and he broke his arm. And you think you had a rough week. Hey, you know something? Tough times have come. They're going to come. And sometimes it's self-inflicted. But you can rise again. I look at this story here. I see a man that said, okay, I know it's going to come. I know I'm going to face the tough times, but I can rise again. When the minute I get hit, I get the sucker punch, I'm going to look up. I've been warned that it could come. I'm going to look to God. And I will bear the problem if I brought it on. And then finally, in the scripture, the last thing he says is, I will rise again. I will rise again. Now, he didn't say when. He said, I will rise again. He didn't say, I may rise again. If you look at the scripture, he said, I shall. I will rise. I'm going to get up. He didn't say, I could get up. He said, I'm going to get up. He didn't say, I might get up. He said, I'm going to get up. He didn't say, well, I'll give consideration to it. No, this man said, I will get up. You say, what an arrogant statement. What a proud statement. All he was doing was listening to Philippians 4:13, where the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is not proud. It is not arrogant. Here's somebody that said, the Bible says, I can rise again. I'm claiming it. I'm doing it. With God's help, I will rise again. I will get up. Hey, he said even this. If you look at the scripture, he said, if you're one of my enemies, and you notice I got knocked down, he said, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. He said, I'm getting up. Somebody out there knows you're down, knows you're going through a tough time. And I think all he was saying was, you may know something about my weakness, but where you have failed, you have not looked to my God, because there is no weakness in him. And he promised me he'd help me get up as long as I'll let him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Here God says, you may get hit. Everybody gets hit. But it does not have to take you down and keep you down, and God can give you the power to overcome. You can keep on going. I wonder how many times this church has heard me say this. As long as you are breathing and your heart's beating, you can take it, you can make it. God kept you alive, and you're to keep on going for God. Don't throw in the towel. We virtually have Christians that are walking dead men, and you're not supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to be like that. You're not to walk around like everything in life is dead and you're dead to everything. You're supposed to live and live under Jesus Christ. You live your life. You live it victoriously. You overcome. Overcome. And you can. I wish I had time. I don't. Oh, of course, my mind runs to the resurrection, though I'm not going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My mind runs to so many stories. The story of Lazarus in the Bible, where he was down and in the grave and everybody said, forget it, he's gone. They found out he wasn't gone. He wasn't gone. Again, after an appointment with Mrs. Winton, she said to me, after 4 years of recouping, after everyone said she's going to die, she's gone. She sat in my office the other day and she said, "Preacher, I'm back. I'm back, preacher." Some of you need to get with it. You ought to say to somebody today, "I'm back. I'm back." They thought I wouldn't make it. They thought I couldn't take it. But I'm back. And I'm not talking about arrogantly. We're talking about you claim the Scripture, you believe the God that is sealed down inside you in the person of the Holy Spirit. You said, "I took the sucker punch. It knocked me for a days. But I'm back. I'm back." I think of the Old Testament story. No, let me go to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, you find a passage of Scripture where in the end times, it is getting very, very evil. And God sends a couple of Old Testament prophets, I believe Elijah and Enoch, that because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the resurrection, and Elijah and Enoch are the only two men that passed away, or that never passed away, they were translated. And I think God's going to send them back in the end times because God is looking for a couple preachers to preach to the wickedness in the world at that time. And Elijah and Enoch are two men that have been sent by God in the last days and are out preaching. But the world is so wicked at that time, the world turns on them and actually attacks them and puts them to death. And on national television, all around the world, I think they'll zoom in and they'll say, "There they are! There are those two preachers that God sent and they're dead!" The Antichrist will say, "Look at that! We got them! They're down!" And the Bible says that the world is rejoicing because they're so wicked at that time that the prophets of God are down and dead. They've got them on national or international television for 3.5 days. You know, CNN News is zoomed in. Dan Rather's saying they're still there. Still there. Look at them dead in the streets. And the Bible says they didn't even bury the guys. Left them for 3.5 days to say to everybody, "Look, God's men are down, dead, they're out." The Bible says after 3.5 days, all of a sudden, some phone calls came in to the news station. Somebody on the other end of the line said, "I think I seen Elijah's finger moving. I thought he was dead." Other phone calls started flooding the station. "I seen that body move. I seen that body move." The Bible says after 3.5 days, those guys were laying there, one facing the other, on the street, the whole world looking. Their eyes opened up. Elijah looked over at Enoch and said, "You okay, buddy?" He said, "I'm okay, but how do you think this is going to affect them when we get up? Let's do it." And the Bible says they got up. They got up. I'm not shocked Mrs. Winton said, "I'm back." There are some Christians under the sound of my voice today. It's time for you to realize that you took the punch. Now look to the Lord. You wait on God and you keep on going forward. And you look to God and say, "God, if I brought this on, go ahead and spank me. I'm ready to take it because I want to make it." And then you realize, you say not arrogantly, "I will get up. I'm getting up. I'm not staying down. I hope I never have to be knocked down to that point. I hope not. I hope I never have to get to the point where everybody in Christianity thinks I'm dead. I hope not. I hope I don't self-inflict a punishment from God or people that would create that. But I also hope this. If y'all give up on me someday, my wife and my kids give up on me someday, if my friends of a lifetime give up on me someday, if all the fundamentalism gives up on me someday and I'm laying in the street dead and everyone says Owens didn't make it, he's dead. You just keep watching that body. I hope to God that the energy of God will be claimed by this man. And somehow, with God's help, I'll climb up. Somebody here needs to say, I'll rise again. I'm knocked down, but I'm not staying down. I will rise again. You talk about a couple party poopers. Elijah and Enoch. All those people were partying saying, look, they're down. It's over for them. I think that brought the party to a sudden end. And you want to know something? When we hit the streets of glory, the old devil's going to find out we're bringing his party to an end, because we'll be in heaven safe with Jesus forever, never again to be hurt. Never again. There's coming a day when I'll never get sucker punched again. But until then, this is how I get up when I get hit. Right there. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I have to tell you this. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I don't know how you take it. I don't know how you do it on your own. Matter of fact, you're probably not. Probably on drugs of all sorts, even prescription. It's just something to help you. You're drinking, you're high, you're hopping from whore to whore, trying to find something that'll keep you going. I don't see how you do it. But if you'd get saved, you'd get God inside you. When you get knocked down, hey, it's hard enough even as a Christian sometimes that with God's help to climb back up. But those of you that are not born again, I feel sorry for you. Really, I mean, how do you do it? That's one reason why we go around telling people about Jesus all the time. We'd like to get you saved so you can get the energy of the Holy Spirit of God inside you and you can do what we're teaching you here. You got to get saved today. Hey, I'm not one of those health and pure wealth preachers. I'll tell you something. You get saved, it doesn't mean all your problems are going away. The preachers that say that are liars. They are liars. They come on and say, you give us all your money, all your problems will go away. They're full of baloney. I'll tell you this though. We'll all go through our downs. If you're not saved, good luck getting up. If you are saved, you're going to look up and there's going to be a helping hand. You'll have a helping hand. And you also have the helping hand of all the other Christians. If you're not saved, I recommend to you the Savior today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.